WCH 910 AM W245CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has a liberal majority for the first time in 15 years. Janet Protasiewicz took the oath of office yesterday.
We all want a Wisconsin where our freedoms are protected. We want a Wisconsin with a fair and impartial Supreme Court. We all want to live in communities that are safe. And we all want a Wisconsin where everyone is afforded equal justice under the law.
Protasiewicz is expected to be the deciding vote on some key cases in the months to come. Those will likely include abortion and gerrymandering. They could also take up workers' rights and voting rules for next year's presidential election. The tight labor market is affecting county jail staffing around Wisconsin. Stuart J. Waddles with more.
Staffing levels in Wisconsin jails are at their lowest level since the Wisconsin Department of Justice began tracking in 2008. With the state's unemployment rate hovering around a historic low of 2.4%, county jails are struggling to attract new workers. The staffing shortages in some places, like Marathon County, are having them sending inmates to nearby facilities. In other Wisconsin counties, like Brown County, facilities are consolidating from multiple locations to one. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
A new effort to address the shortage of special education teachers in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction found that close to half of special ed teachers in the state leave the profession within the first 5 years. A new state program, backed by federal grant funding, is working to address special ed teacher retention. The special education induction program will begin this fall and include around 300 first and second year teachers. There's a new draft plan for managing Wisconsin's gray wolf population. Terry Bell reports.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources adjusted its latest plan after public feedback on the first draft. The new version, released yesterday, recommends a statewide population of 800 to 1,200 wolves. The DNR's Randy Johnson says this is the draft the Natural Resources Board will likely vote on in October.
We can't estimate the exact number of wolves in the state. I think the better question is, can we make good decisions based on the information we have? And I think we're in a good place there.
Farmers say they need to protect their livestock from wolves. Animal rights activists say the wolf population isn't big enough for hunting. Wisconsin's last gray wolf hunt was in 2014. The gray wolf has since been put back on the federal endangered species list. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
A sailing season cut short. The SS Badger, Lake Michigan's largest car ferry, is done for the season after damage to one of its ramps. The ferry runs daily service between Manitowoc and Ludington, Michigan. The 2023 season was set to end October 9th. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory and Polk County. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany announced yesterday he will not seek a spot in the U.S. Senate and will instead focus on re-election in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. Tiffany, who is in his second term in the House, represents northern and parts of central Wisconsin. Tiffany said he can make the greatest impact by serving in the House of Representatives. There are no announced Republican candidates to run against Tammy Baldwin in the Senate election next year. The DNR revised its wolf management plan Tuesday and is recommending keeping Wisconsin's gray wolf population at about 1,000 wolves, which is about triple the old plan set nearly 25 years ago that called for a cap of 350. Gray wolves are a federally endangered species in Wisconsin. In 2021, the state held a wolf hunt, with hunters nearly doubling the statewide quota for wolves in just 4 days. The DNR Policy Board is expected to take up the recommendation in October. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Brewers making several trades. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. First, a recap of last night's game. The Crew beat the Nationals in Washington. Bryce Terang, Joey Weimer with key hits that sparked a four-run rally in the fourth inning. Then in the bottom of the ninth, the Nationals' Corey Dickerson at bat. Closer Devin Williams on the mound. Jeff Levering with the call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Struck him out with a heater. The Brewers snapped the four-game losing streak and take down the Nationals 6-4 here in D.C.
Now, before the game, the Brewers acquired more players in last-minute trades, including Arizona lefty Andrew Chafin for right-handed pitcher Peter Strzelecki, who'd been with the Crew 5 years when he played for the Timber Rattlers.
That's the first thing I thought about, was just, you know, having to say goodbye to everybody. And a lot of people through the, you know, the minor leagues and just back at the complex that have helped me so much and helped me get to this point.
They traded Luis Urias to the Red Sox for pitcher Bradley Blaylock. Outfielder Mark Canna joined the crew after being traded away by the Mets.
Excited to be here. Excited for to make a playoff run with this talented group. And it's a lot. It's a lot for me because I have I've never been traded before. So it's a new experience, and I'm excited for this chapter in my career.
In all, Milwaukee added three more pitchers. Manager Craig Counsell says the bullpen needed some help.
Look, we talked about this when we were, you know, winning games, that we were putting a lot of pressure on those guys to be perfect. So on nights that they're not, you know, and some balls find grass, you know, they score some runs, and it hurts us bad.
Game three to wrap up the series this afternoon. Last night in Chicago, the Cubs clobbered the Reds 20-9. Ben Lively gave up 13 earned runs, including four homers, in just four innings. Cincinnati, though, still a half game ahead of Milwaukee. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers beginning training camp today at UW-Platteville. New head coach Luke Fickell.
It's just there's so many unknowns that is so exciting about what camp is. But boy, I mean, it's starting to get to that point where my wife's even like, you know what? Why don't you guys just go and start? Because you're here, but you're not here.
With sports.
How you doing today? And welcome into the Stu Daniels Show on a Wednesday morning. It's the second day of August, and you are tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show. You can hear this program Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Going to be another warm day outside. Slight chance of some rain, depending on where you are. La Crosse is probably the only place I looked up that doesn't have rain forecast for today, or at least a chance of rain. Mostly sunny with a high around 88 today in La Crosse. Then in Eau Claire, mostly sunny with a high around 89. Slight chance of an afternoon pop-up shower. Hayward, mostly sunny with a high around 86. Again, a chance of an afternoon shower. And in Amory, mostly sunny with a high around 87. And a chance of an afternoon shower. So in sports, we got some good news from the Brewers camp. The Brewers got back on the winning track last night after losing four games in a row. They beat the Nationals last night 6-4, and the Reds lost last night. So the Brewers remain in second place, just a half game behind Cincinnati, and the Brewers wrap up their three-game series with the Nationals this afternoon in Washington. Well, in the headlines, you probably heard what's going on, right? Big news breaking yesterday, late yesterday, Donald Trump indicted again, this time for the very serious crime of organizing a conspiracy to steal the 2020 election. And also in the headlines, the fake elector scheme by Wisconsin Republicans is at the center of that federal Trump indictment that was announced yesterday. Also in the headlines, Janet Protasiewicz, sworn in yesterday to Wisconsin's Supreme Court. And some Democrats in Madison are calling for more regulation on developers who build apartments on land that is environmentally contaminated. But let's get to the big story. First of all, and I'm going to go to the New York Times right away. And, of course, Trump indicted again. That's the headline. Subheadline says the latest indictment of Trump raises issues at the core of American democracy. This was just posted about an hour ago at the New York Times. It says the two previous indictments of Donald Trump focused on his personal conduct, one involving a sex scandal and the other his handling of classified documents. Yesterday's indictment is different. It involves arguably the most central issue in a democracy, an attempt to subvert an American election. Quote, at the core of the United States of America versus Donald J. Trump is no less than the viability of the system constructed by the founders. Our colleague Peter Baker, the Times chief White House correspondent, wrote, and he went on and said, can a sitting president spread lies about an election and try to employ his government's power to overturn the will of the voters without consequence? In today's newsletter, we'll explain the details of the indictment and focus on the new information that prosecutors released yesterday. This new indictment lays out a scheme that by now is widely known. Trump falsely claimed the 2020 election results were rigged, and tried to rally federal officials, state lawmakers, and his supporters, including rioters at the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol, on January 6, 2021, to overturn his loss to President Biden. The indictment accuses Trump of four crimes: conspiracy to violate Americans' right to vote, conspiracy to defraud the government, obstructing an official proceeding, and conspiring to do so. Unlike the previous indictments, the charges stem primarily from actions Trump took while he was president. Quote, the attack on our nation's capital on January 6th of 2021 was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. Jack Smith, the special counsel who led the Justice Department investigation in the case, said yesterday. He went on and said it was fueled by lies by the defendant targeted at obstructing a bedrock function of the United States government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election, end quote. In a statement, Trump called the new charges election interference and compared the Biden administration to Nazi Germany and the Soviet Union. Well, here's what's new. Much of the indictment builds on the work of the House committee that investigated the January 6th attack, but the indictment also presents some new information. And here are some examples. Trump tried repeatedly to persuade Mike Pence that the vice president had the power to overturn the election results in Congress. When Mike Pence said that he did not believe he had that authority, Trump allegedly responded, "You're too honest." Also, new information, the indictment said that Trump had six co-conspirators, but it did not name them. The Times reported several likely candidates, including the former Justice Department official Jeffrey Clark and lawyers Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell. Prosecutors would charge co-conspirators in the coming weeks. I should say could charge co-conspirators in the coming weeks. Also new, a deputy White House counsel warned one alleged co-conspirator, believed to be Clark, that if Trump tried to stay in office, there would be, quote, riots in every major city in the United States. And, end quote. That co-conspirator's response seemed to suggest that Trump could use his power as commander-in-chief to crush the protests. That's why there is an Insurrection Act. The top charges are punishable by up to 20 years in prison. So what's next? Trump will be arraigned in federal court in Washington in the coming days, and I've heard that that will happen tomorrow, although that is not mentioned here in this Times article. and he'll likely be asked to enter a plea to the charges. The federal judicial system uses a random system for assigning cases to judges, and Judge Tanya Chutkan, a Barack Obama appointee based in Washington, will oversee this case. She has overseen trials of the January 6th rioters, issuing harsh sentences against them. Previously, she also rejected Trump's attempt to avoid disclosing documents to the House's January 6th committee, writing, "Presidents are not kings." The timing of a trial remains uncertain, but it could be next year when Trump is also set to face trials for his handling classified documents and his attempt to hide a sexual encounter. Separately, a Georgia prosecutor is investigating Trump's efforts to overturn the election results there and may soon file charges. Will these cases hurt Trump's 2024 campaign? So far, they have not. If anything, Republican primary voters have rallied to support him. Still, polls suggest that many swing voters believe Trump has committed crimes, and the spectacle of multiple trials could damage his general election campaign. For now, he and Biden are running very close to one another in the polls. Quote, Trump likes to project bravado, but he is extremely angry and unsettled about this indictment, according to people who have spoken with him. Our colleague Maggie Haberman, who covers Trump, wrote, she went on and said, this particular indictment touches a lot of people in his orbit in a way the previous two do not. And more on Trump. Despite having lost, the defendant was determined to remain in power. Prosecutors wrote about Trump. Jack Smith, the bearded, fast-walking special counsel, has moved quickly to investigate Trump. Yesterday, he praised the law enforcement officers who defended the Capitol on January 6th. Also, Ron DeSantis described the indictment as a weaponization of the federal government. And also, in a separate case, a Michigan Republican who tried to overturn that state's 2020 result was charged yesterday in a plot to access voting machines. And I guess that's about where we'll stop for now. We do have to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antone. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin
or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all.
Civic Media,
608-819-8255.
Hail insurance is a critical part of your risk management plan. Here at Ag Country Farm Credit Services, our loan officers and insurance specialists work together to give you the best combination of risk management tools and hail insurance options. We'll analyze coverage levels and compare them to the cost of production and the crop revenue potential. Then we'll customize a hail plan to your specific operation. contact your local Egg Country office to learn more.
Flowers, vegetables, and crab apples, some of the first Marathon County Fair attractions, and showed us proof those crops could grow there. Started in 1868 by the Agricultural Society, the Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau began as a place to buy and sell those types of goods. Today, it's considered one of the best in the state, featuring displays, demos, and big name entertainment included with the price of your ticket. The Wisconsin Valley Fair runs August 1st to the 6th in Wausau. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun today with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs around 87. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tonight, lows level off around 64. Partly cloudy skies. Slight chance for scattered storms again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 87. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 71.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. At 10, As Goes Wisconsin. Then at noon, Civic Media Network News. On Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
My mother told me before she passed away, said, son, when I'm gone, don't forget to pray. 'Cause there'll be hard times, hard times. Oh yeah, yeah. Who knows better than I? Well, I soon found out just what she meant when I had to pawn my clothes just to pay my rent. Talking about hard times, hard times. Oh yeah, yeah. Who knows? Oh well, better than I.
Yeah. Now we're getting somewhere. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Wednesday morning. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, and I would highly encourage you to look up this new federal indictment against Donald Trump. It's 45 pages long. It's easy to read, and I think you will benefit from reading this indictment. Jack Smith yesterday encouraged people to read this indictment. And in the few minutes that we have before we go to the next break, I just want to give you a little bit of this. So you have some feel for it, and also so that you may be more likely to go read it for yourself. It's 45 pages long. Might take you, 45 minutes or so to read it if you're a slow reader. And if you're a fast reader, you might be able to do it in a half hour or so. But I'll give you just a little bit of this. It's in the United States District Court for the District of Columbia. It says the United States of America versus Donald J. Trump. Defendant. And the introduction says the defendant, Donald Trump, was the 45th president of the United States and a candidate for re-election in 2020. The defendant lost the 2020 presidential election. Despite having lost, the defendant was determined to remain in power. So for more than 2 months following Election Day on November 3rd of 2020, the defendant spread lies that there had been outcome determinative fraud in the election, and that he had actually won. These claims were false, and the defendant knew that they were false. But the defendant repeated and widely disseminated them anyway to make his knowingly false claims appear legitimate, create an intense national atmosphere of mistrust and anger, and erode public faith in the administration of the election. The defendant had a right, like every American, to speak publicly about the election and even to claim falsely that there had been outcome determinative fraud during the election and that he had won. He was also entitled to formally challenge the results of the election through lawful and appropriate means, such as by seeking recounts or audits of the popular vote in states or filing lawsuits challenging ballots and procedures. Indeed, in many cases, the defendant did pursue these methods of contesting the election results. His efforts to change the outcome in any state through recounts, audits, or legal challenges were uniformly unsuccessful. Shortly after Election Day, the defendant also pursued unlawful means of discounting legitimate votes and subverting the election results. In so doing, the defendant perpetrated three criminal conspiracies. First of all, a conspiracy to defraud the United States by using dishonesty, fraud, and deceit to impair, obstruct, and defeat the lawful federal government function by which the results of the presidential election are collected, counted, and certified by the federal government in violation of 18 U.S. Code 371. Also, a conspiracy to corruptly obstruct and impede the January 6th congressional proceeding at which the collected results of the presidential election are counted and certified in violation of 18 U.S. Code 1512K, and a conspiracy against the right to vote and to have one's vote counted in violation of 18 U.S. Code 241. Each of these conspiracies, which built on the widespread mistrust the defendant was creating through pervasive and destabilizing lies about election fraud, targeted a bedrock function of the United States federal government, the nation's process of collecting, counting, and certifying the results of the presidential election. Also, the allegations contained in paragraphs 1 through 4 of this indictment are realleged and fully incorporated here by reference. And the conspiracy, it says here, from on or about November 14th, 2020 through on or about January 20th of 2021, in the District of Columbia and elsewhere, the defendant, Donald J. Trump, did knowingly combine, conspire, confederate, and agree with co-conspirators known and unknown to the grand jury to defraud the United States by using dishonesty, fraud, and deceit to impair, obstruct, and defeat the lawful federal government function by which the results of the presidential election are collected, counted, and certified by the federal government. Again, I'd highly encourage you to read the entire indictment for yourself. It's an easy read, and the more you read, the more you'll be blown away just by the whole thing that we're even talking about today. It's 8:28 right now. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm M. Nguyen. Former President Trump now facing serious charges for a third time, this time for his efforts to change the 2020 election outcome, including his role on January 6th. ABC's Stephen Portnoy in Washington.
The special counsel has charged the former president with fomenting an intense national atmosphere of mistrust and anger, propagating claims about election fraud that he knew were false. The second sentence of the 45-page indictment reads simply, "The defendant lost the 2020 presidential election."
Trump summoned to court in Washington tomorrow. It's World Youth Day, and Pope Francis is in Portugal for the festivities. More than 1 million young people are excited to attend. Nobody won last night's Mega Millions drawing. Next chance Friday for $1.25 billion. But Stacy Weldon in D.C. says she's not going to waste her money.
No one has won here. No one. So I'm not buying into it.
This is ABC News.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Here's what you need to know in Amory and Polk County. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany announced yesterday he will not seek a spot in the U.S. Senate and will instead focus on re-election in Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District. Tiffany, who is in his second term in the House, represents northern and parts of central Wisconsin. Tiffany said he can make the greatest impact by serving in the House of Representatives. There are no announced Republican candidates to run against Tammy Baldwin in the Senate election next year. The DNR revised its wolf management plan Tuesday and is recommending keeping Wisconsin's gray wolf population at about 1,000 wolves, which is about triple the old plan set nearly 25 years ago that called for a cap of 350. Gray wolves are a federally endangered species in Wisconsin. In 2021, the state held a wolf hunt, with hunters nearly doubling the statewide quota for wolves in just 4 days. The DNR Policy Board is expected to take up the recommendation in October. From the Civic Media Newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
If you care about animals or crops, you probably care how the weather could impact both.
It's summer in Wisconsin, and the success of your efforts often depends on knowing the forecast. Count on your local Civic Media weather team for all the information you need.
Crops' roots are also growing deeper in search for water, which is bad news, because when rain finally falls, it will sit shallow and be absorbed in the top layers of the soil.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Hi, I'm Joey Erickson from Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, and here are some events that are coming up in our community.
On August 3rd, the Amory Lakes Protection and Rehabilitation District meeting is held at City Hall. That takes place 6:30 till 7 p.m. On August 7th, the Indian Head Barbershop Course meets at 7 p.m. at the Government Center on the northeast side of Highway I and Highway 46 in Balsam Lake. All men who love to sing are welcome. August 9th, stop by Michael Park, enjoy a free concert. Listen to Samantha Grimes Band. That's at 6 o'clock. And on August 12th, the Amory Price is Right will be starting at 10 a.m. Make sure to shop locally and learn how to win amazing prizes throughout the entire day.
If you have an event you'd like us to tell others about, let me know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us, and we'll tell the community all about it. Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
Now on this Wednesday morning, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show, Jerry Garcia Band, Don't Let Go. Hey, we've got 73 degrees right now in La Crosse. It is 70 up in Hayward. Going to be another warm day. Looking for highs today in the upper 80s in most places, with a slight chance of an afternoon shower in much of western Wisconsin. Of course, today we are discussing, or at least at the beginning of the program here, discussing the big indictment that came down yesterday. An historic day for the United States. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with this trial of Donald Trump. And of course, there is always a Wisconsin connection, a Wisconsin angle. I have a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Molly Beck. It says, Wisconsin fake elector scheme is at the center of the Donald Trump indictment. So again, we see a Wisconsin connection. Dateline Madison, Wisconsin is at the center of a sweeping indictment of former President Donald Trump, who is accused by a federal grand jury of organizing a conspiracy to steal the 2020 election from President Joe Biden. Trump's strategy to stay in office after voters elected Biden president in 2020 hinged on 84 people in seven states, including Wisconsin, who agreed to sign documents claiming to be electors for Trump despite the outcome of the election, according to the indictment that was handed down Tuesday in a federal court in Washington, D.C. And it goes on and says here, the indictment listed four counts against Trump: conspiracy to defraud the United States, conspiracy to obstruct an official proceeding, obstruction of an attempt to obstruct an official proceeding, and conspiracy against rights. In 2020, Biden beat Trump by about 21,000 votes in Wisconsin. Trump sought and paid for recounts in Dane and Milwaukee counties, which confirmed Biden's win. Trump sued, and the state Supreme Court upheld the results on a 4-3 vote on December 14th of 2020. Less than an hour later, Democrats met in the state capitol to cast the state's 10 electoral votes for Joe Biden. And at the same time, 10 Republicans gathered in another part of the Capitol to fill out paperwork claiming Trump had won. They submitted their filings to Congress, the National Archives, a federal judge, and then Wisconsin Secretary of State Doug La Follette. At the time, the false electors said they held the meeting to ensure the state's electoral votes were cast for Trump if a court later determined he was the true winner of the state. The plan was spelled out after the election by attorney Kenneth Cheesebrough in a memo dated November 18th of 2020, the same day Trump asked for recounts in Dane and Milwaukee counties. The indictment makes several references to the November 18th Wisconsin memo and a December 6th, 2020 fraudulent elector memo. Here's a quote from the indictment. It says, the memoranda evolved over time from a legal strategy to preserve the defendant's rights to a corrupt plan to subvert the federal government function by stopping Biden electors' votes from being counted and certified. The fake elector certificates were used by Trump and his co-conspirators to, quote, deceitfully target the government function contrary to how fraudulent electors were told they would be used, according to the indictment. Cheesebrough sent the memo to Jim Troupas, the attorney who oversaw Trump's post-election legal strategy in Wisconsin. Cheesebrough sent a second memo on the matter on December 9th of 2020 after state officials certified Biden as the victor in Wisconsin. The filings from the fake electors in Wisconsin and elsewhere helped Trump and his allies argue the results were in dispute as they tried to prevent Congress from finalizing them Now, the false electors' actions are under high scrutiny as Trump faces criminal charges for his role in the January 6, 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol. Last month, Michigan became the first state to charge the Trump electors. A trial in a Wisconsin lawsuit over the actions of the 10 Republicans who posed as electors for Trump takes place just weeks before the next presidential election. Trump announced last month that he had been notified he was a target of special counsel Jack Smith's investigation into alleged election fraud. Smith's team also has interviewed election officials in Wisconsin over the 2020 election, including Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf. As in Wisconsin, Republicans in Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, and Nevada signed documents purporting to be electors. Republicans in New Mexico and Pennsylvania filled out paperwork saying they should be considered electors if courts found Trump had won their states. The counting of electoral votes was temporarily suspended while a mob of Trump supporters ransacked the Capitol. Trump had told supporters during a rally earlier in the day near the White House that, quote, "You'll never take back our country with weakness. You have to show strength and you have to be strong. We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated." Lawfully slated. We fight like hell. And if you don't fight like hell, you're not going to have a country anymore. End quote. But Trump didn't go to the Capitol, and he pointed out he also told the crowd to behave peacefully. Trump urged Pence in his role as Senate president to recognize the alternate electors in seven pivotal states that Biden won. Trump's campaign recruited Republican electors to meet parallel to official certified electors on December 14th of 2020 and to sign documents falsely claiming they were duly elected. The indictment mentions a previously reported indictment that occurred on January 6th of 2021 incident. The indictment mentions a previously reported incident that occurred on January 6th of 2021, involving an aide to Senator Ron Johnson attempting to hand slates of false electors to Trump about 20 minutes before a joint session of Congress was set to convene to begin certification of Biden's victory that day. Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, Chief of Staff Sean Riley, told a staffer for Pence that Johnson wanted to hand deliver to Pence votes from Republicans in Wisconsin and Michigan who posed as fake presidential electors for Trump. And here's a quote of the text. It says here, Ron Johnson needs to hand something to the vice president. Please advise. Riley texted Pence staffer Chris Hodgson at 12:37 p.m. on that day, January 6th, according to evidence presented yesterday, by the House Select Committee investigating the attack on the U.S. Capitol. "What is it?" Hodgson, a former legislative affairs director for Pence, replied. Quote, "Alternate slate of electors for Michigan and Wisconsin because archivists didn't receive them," Riley wrote back. Hodgson then told Riley, "Do not give that to him." On the morning of January 6th, an agent of the defendant, Trump, contacted a United States senator to ask him to hand deliver documents to the vice president. The agent then facilitated the receipt by the senator's staff of the fraudulent certificates signed by the defendant's fraudulent electors in Michigan and Wisconsin, which were believed not to have been delivered to the vice president or archivist by mail. The indictment reads, noting that Pence's staffer rejected the documents. Ron Johnson has downplayed the exchange as a staff-to-staff conversation and has said his involvement lasted just seconds. Quote, "My involvement in that attempt to deliver spanned the course of a couple seconds," Johnson told WISN-TV's Matt Smith in August of 2022. "I think I fielded 3 texts and sent 2 and talked to my chief of staff that somebody wants you to deliver something. I knew nothing about it. And in the end, those electors were not delivered because we found out from the vice president's staff they didn't want them delivered. End of story." In reviewing the false elector strategy as part of a civil lawsuit, U.S. District Judge David Carter ruled the president and one of his lawyers, John Eastman, more likely than not acted unlawfully. Carter called the strategy a coup in search of a legal theory. The illegality of the plan was obvious, Carter wrote. In Wisconsin, the group of false electors included a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission and leaders of the Republican Party of Wisconsin. Andrew Hitt, former chairman of the state Republican Party, testified last year for investigators of the U.S. House probe into the 2021 insurrection. His testimony and text messages provided to the committee showed Hitt and party executive director Mark Jefferson were uncomfortable with the plan, but ultimately agreed to participate. Quote, "I am definitely concerned about their inquiry," Hitt texted Jefferson when he learned of the plot that followed Trump's 2020 election loss. "I hope they are not planning on asking us to do anything like try and say we are only the proper electors. These guys are up to no good, and it's gonna fail miserably," he texted a colleague on December 12, 2020, after receiving a message about discussing the fake elector plan with Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani. Hitt was subpoenaed, along with Kelly Rue, chairwoman of the 8th Congressional District GOP, to testify in front of the committee in January 2022. He said at the time the alternate electors were simply following the guidance of Wisconsin legal counsel and told the January 6th committee he would not have supported the use of the paperwork to overturn the election illegitimately. So, as we see, there's always a Wisconsin connection, right? Hey, by the way, if you have any opinions on what we're discussing, feel free to call in. The phone number is 715-388-7155. Stay tuned. You are tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or from a former client? Maybe an outdated news article or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. For right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff, so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at ReputationDefender.com or call 800-401-6681 to speak to an expert. That's 800-401-6681.
She's the newest of 7 elected Wisconsin Supreme Court justices. Janet Protasiewicz begins her 10-year term in August when she is sworn in. It's a long-time tradition which includes use of the court's seal created in 1848. But did you know it features the scales of justice, but not carried by a blindfolded Greek goddess? Instead, a hand holds the scales, representing justice is in human hands. It also means everything is official once the seal is stamped on any court documents. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Here's your updated forecast. A mix of clouds and sun today with a chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs around 87. Winds out of the south, 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tonight, lows level off around 64. Partly cloudy skies. Slight chance for scattered storms again tomorrow. High temperatures reach up to 87. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 72.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show on this Wednesday morning. That big organ sound with the band from Garth Hudson, who is celebrating a birthday today. Garth Hudson turning 86 years old. Just one of two of the original members of the band still with us. Robbie Robertson, of course, still around. Yeah, happy birthday to Garth Hudson. We got 8:53 right now. We've been discussing the indictment against the former president that was handed down yesterday. Going to drift away from that for just a couple minutes and talk about what happened yesterday in Wisconsin. And Janet Protasiewicz sworn in as Supreme Court Justice, ushering in an ideological shift, according to Jesse Apoyan of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This was just updated a couple hours ago. It says here the Wisconsin Supreme Court is now controlled by a liberal majority following the ceremonial swearing-in of Janet Protasiewicz on Tuesday at the state capitol. Protasiewicz was elected to a 10-year term in April after running a campaign that focused heavily on broadcasting her personal values to voters, including support for abortion access and a belief that the state's electoral maps are rigged, while asserting that those values would not offer a guarantee as to how she would rule in a particular case. Quote, "We all want a Wisconsin where our freedoms are protected. We want a Wisconsin with a fair and impartial Supreme Court. We all want to live in communities that are safe, and we all want a Wisconsin where everyone is afforded equal justice under the law. Protasiewicz said during remarks delivered Tuesday evening in the Capitol Rotunda. And she went on and said, "That's why I don't take this responsibility lightly. Just as I have throughout my entire legal and judicial career, I am committed to protecting our freedoms, and I'm committed to fairness and impartiality in our justice system. It's not only what the people of Wisconsin expect, it's what they deserve and what the oath I have taken demands," end quote. The former Milwaukee County judge replaces conservative former Chief Justice Patience Rogensack, who retired after two decades on the state's high court. A number of issues, from union rights to redistricting to abortion to election laws, are likely to make their way before the court in the coming months and years. The race between Protasiewicz and conservative former state Supreme Court Justice Daniel Kelly, whom she defeated by 11 points, was the most expensive judicial contest in U.S. history. Spending tallies from the nationally spotlighted election have surpassed $50 million. It was widely seen as a referendum on abortion access, as the state's 1849 law effectively banning abortion was reactivated less than a year beforehand under the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization. Quote, "Wisconsinites should brace themselves for an era of hyper-partisanship brought on by Protasiewicz and her allies as they use the courts to implement their partisan policy agenda." Now, who do you think said that? Republican Party of Wisconsin spokeswoman Rachel Reisner said in a statement, "Though the role of the Wisconsin Supreme Court is to interpret the laws of Wisconsin as they're written, regardless of political beliefs, Protasiewicz has promised to put her thumb on the scales of justice and disregard the Constitution or laws on the books whenever she desires." Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that Janet Protasiewicz actually promised to put her thumb on the scales of justice and disregard the Constitution or the laws? I don't think she said that. Anyway, let's take a break. Congratulations to Supreme Court Justice Janet Protasiewicz. Going to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Nobody feels any pain tonight as I stand inside the rain. Everybody knows that baby's got new clothes, but lately I see her ribbons and her bows have fallen from her curls. Takes just like a woman. Yes, she does. She makes love just like a woman. Yes, she does. And she aches just like a woman. But she breaks just like a little girl. She's my friend. Yes, I believe I'll go see her again.
All right, folks, let's get started. Parents, thanks for coming. As many of you know, I'm Coach Mather. Tonight I want to talk about the season, of which I only have one expectation, that everybody gets stronger. When I say get stronger, I'm not referring solely to physical strength. Sure, we'll be in the weight room, we'll be running stairs, but we're also going to focus on developing mental toughness and grit, because those are the characteristics that allow us to achieve greatness both on and off the court. So, how do we develop those things? By getting comfortable with a challenge, by cultivating the confidence necessary to overcome adversity in all forms. That's why I coach. That's my purpose. Every member of this team can lean on me. and I'll teach them how they can lean on themselves and each other.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward.
Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News
app.
ABC News, I'm Emily.